Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
I was in Spain, actually. I was in Spain on a golf trip. And I think, obviously, first of all, a weird feeling. Never gotten through something like that. But then just excitement. I was super, super pumped. I was with Lutz, actually, the guy who was in the system as well. So we're pretty happy.
There's former Buffalo Sabre JJ Paterka. He and I had something in common. We were both in Spain when he got traded. As we welcome in Joe Yurden, so much has happened since the last time we spoke with you, Joe. Let's start with that Paterka trade, because I think the initial reaction was, what did they get back in return for a guy that was on the uptrend in JJ Paterka? Talk me through the decision to move off of Paterka and what the Sabres got back in return.
Well, I mostly just want to know who's the better golfer between you and JJ now.
I wasn't golfing with him, but I can promise you he is a better golfer than I am. There's no question about that.
Oh. Okay. I know the initial reaction, and I'm guilty of this too, I did an instant snap winners and losers of the trade on Bleacher Report. And the first blush of it is that the Sabres are the big losers on it, because they're getting rid of a guy who's 23 years old and scored 28 and 27 goals in each of the last 2 years. And that's a lot of offense to give up, even for a team that did score pretty well last year. But the guys are getting back in return. Michael Kesselring, right shot defenseman. He's a guy who's trending up. And I mean, I'm not going to crown him and say, you know, he's the savior of the defense. He's the guy that's going to unlock everything and make it so that, you know, this becomes one of the best defensive teams in the league. But this guy's good. He's a very good player. And, you know, he's a guy Kevin Adams said he's targeted for a couple years now. And that's a smart move by him to be looking into a guy like this, because he's played very well. He's big. He's 6'5". He's physical. He will fight occasionally, although he admits that's not his thing. That's fine. There are other guys that will also be able to do that, you know, next season. But Kesselring's going to be a very solid player, whether he's paired with Dahlin or if he's paired with Owen Power. I think we're all assuming he's going to be with Owen, but I don't know. I wouldn't be too surprised if we see him with Dahlin a little bit too. But It's a tough loss to give up a guy that's as young as JJ is, who scores as much. But, you know, Kesselring's a great get, and so is Josh Doan. Josh Doan, Shane Doan's son, so like let's all feel a lot older for hearing that. But Josh Doan's going to be a guy that's going to slot in third, maybe fourth line, plays hard, forechecks like a demon, hits, can score occasionally, and both Kesselring and Doan played with Tage Thompson at World Championships, helping the U.S. win gold for the first time in, 92 years at World. So there is a little bit of chemistry. These are both really positive guys. And I think that's that positivity and the talent level are net bonuses. But I said Kevin Adams comes out as a loser in that trade, but I said I'm willing to walk that back depending on what happens in the Bo Byram trade, whenever that happens, and I think we're still waiting.
There wasn't the only move, but that was the one that folks debated the most. Alex Lyon is a Sabre coming over from Detroit. So how does this kind of get parsed out now? Does he have the ability here to be the 1A in this team? Is he a stopgap guy? What are your thoughts on Lyon coming over as the new goalie here in Buffalo?
I think he's going to be in the same kind of role James Reimer was last year. He's going to be the solid veteran that's going to pair up with, I'm going to presume, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in Buffalo, and ideally be able to provide maybe a few more starts. this all depends on how well Lukanen does and how Levi does in training camp and how Lyon does in training camp, honestly. Like, this is, you know, it's a situation where we're going to be going into training camp saying, like, we think we know how this is going to work out, but we don't know until it plays itself out. And I think that's part of the frustration for, you know, for some of the stuff going on with the Sabres, is that fans are just kind of like, all right, well, who's the guy? Well, Lukanen's the guy, but he needs to be better. And Alex Lyon's a guy who's been very good in that kind of role in the past. I know Sabres fans are all too familiar with him from his time in Florida. They saw enough of him at the end of the season, that season a couple years ago. The last couple years in Detroit was hoping for some of that Florida magic to get them into the playoffs. Didn't quite work. Detroit has their own problems too. But I think the way this is going to end up shaking out is we're going to have Lukanen and Lyon in Buffalo, and I think Devin Levi is going to be back in Rochester. And I don't think Amherst fans are going to be too upset about that.
Not at all. You mentioned Bo Byram, and I'm curious as to the timeline, where we are, where it all stands, and what could be next here for the defenseman.
Well, the last couple of days were interesting because Byram had arbitration rights, so did the team. And we were curious if one or the other was going to elect for arbitration. Byram didn't, but the Sabres did. So what that does is it takes the possibility of Byram signing an offer sheet completely off the table. So he can't do it. Can't be done. They'll schedule a hearing date sometime between, you know, in July, late July, August. There'll be a date where they'll go in. They'll argue their case for however much money they're looking for. I'm positive Byram has a very, very tasty amount of money in mind for what he wants. The Sabres have their own target in mind. But because the team elected arbitration, Byram gets to decide what he wants the award to be, whether it's a one-year contract or a two. Now, if it's a two-year contract, at the end of that two-year contract, you can become an unrestricted free agent. But also, if it's a two-year contract, the Sabres can't trade him at all for a year. So there's a lot going on here. In my mind, I don't imagine that Byram wants to get it to the hearing. I don't think the Sabres do either, although it'll get settled. Because if it goes to a hearing, contract decision's made, and then that's that. Although, if the amount comes in, I think more than $4.8 million per year on an award, team can walk away from it, which that is not going to happen. And if it does happen, then everybody will be very righteous and screaming about that happening. But we've seen it happen in the past with the Sabres and arbitration awards. They've walked away from guys before. Tim Kennedy was one. This is going back, you know, ancient history at this point. But what this does is it's kind of a deadline for everybody. A deadline for either the Sabres and Byram to work out a deal that works for everybody to make sure everything's okay, or a drop dead date to get a trade done with another team. And I think that's where we're headed with this. If there are teams that were pursuing Byram and they were teasing the idea of maybe signing an offer sheet, maybe saying like, well, you know, we don't like the hardball that you're playing. Maybe we'll play hardball back. Well, that's gone. So now it's like, all right, well, get serious and come to the table and let's try to figure out a trade here. But this provides some finality with how this is going to play out, because he's either getting traded or he's getting a contract.
Okay, so let's assume that it sounds like you're assuming that a trade is going to happen before they go to arbitration. What do you think Kevin Adams is fishing for here? What do you think he can get in return for Bo Byram? Because when I look at the list of centers on this team, short of Tage Thompson, I'm wondering who are centering lines 2, 3, and 4 for this team?
Well, I think the way Tage Thompson played on the wing last year, I don't know if we're going to see him at center again.
Yeah.
Because I think Yuri Kulik's going to be that center.
Okay.
Which, you know, I mean, hey, listen, Yuri showed he can handle it last year, so that's good. But it's, you know, it creates another question of sorts, because, you know, he's really young, and, you know, is he going to progress? Is he going to be more? What Adams wants is ideally a top six forward, and I think ultra ideally a top six forward and a defenseman to replace Byram. Now, won't necessarily be somebody of Byram's quality, to replace him, but somebody who's an NHL player at least. But in his mind, like getting somebody to replace Paterka, some in some form is what should happen here. And I think the teams that are involved in this process right now, which we've heard St. Louis, we've heard Vegas, we've heard LA was before LA signed every old defenseman that was available on the market. There's a couple teams that are out there floating about, but I look at those rosters and I'm like, I don't know if I find a top six forward in there necessarily, at least not one that makes a deal easy. So it's not as if Adams has painted himself into a corner here, but he's been laser focused on getting a top, a guy for right now, a guy who can slot into that top six and score. The thing with an offer sheet was that if somebody came with an offer sheet, an unprotected first-round pick next year would have been on the table regardless, because that dollar amount would have necessitated there being a first-round pick there. I don't know if you're going to get one in a deal. Maybe you do, but futures aren't what he's after, and I don't blame him because, how do you try to win now when you're piling up picks? But, next year's draft has a very, very, very interesting player at the top of it, Gavin McKenna.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we're talking to our buddy Joe Yurden, who, by the way, is in the Capital District today, visiting friends and family. So we appreciate you giving us a few minutes here, Joe. This move I found peculiar. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but could you just explain why didn't Kevin Adams extend a qualifying offer to Jacob Bernard Docker? Bernard Docker, for folks who didn't know, he was one of the pieces that came over in the Dylan Cousins deal, and he ends up, by not doing that, signing with Detroit, so you're letting an asset walk out the door. What's the logic there, Joe?
So the qualifying offer he would have gotten would have been somewhere north of $800,000, which, drop in the bucket, all things considered. Which that's fine. But Bernard Docker had arbitration rights, which you want to get yourself a raise. That's a good way to go about it. The way Kevin Adams explained it to us, and he is correct about this, is that, okay, if we extend him the qualifying offer, that's great. He's probably taken us to arbitration. So like that 800, 850,000, whatever it is, can end up being double because arb cases turn into comp cases where you're comparing how you've done to other players in your in your age range and how you've performed. There's a guy right on the Sabres right now in Jacob Bryson who stats are different, the usage is different, all that, whatever. But Jacob makes 1.7, 1.8 million a year. So if Bernard Docker went to arbitration, the chances of him getting like an award for 1.5 million or something like that, where it's sizably more than the qualifying rate that the Sabres would have been comfortable in paying. They were just like, let's not go down that road for a guy who might not even be part of our top, top seven, top eight defensemen here, given the moves they're making and what their plan was. So they were like, we love him, but not at the price it was going to cost. No, everybody's going to be screaming like, it's cheap, it's blah, blah, blah. I get it. I totally get it. But when it comes down to a numbers crunch, if you're paying a guy, $1.8 million to play in Rochester, hey, congrats to you, dude. Like, that's pretty cool, but not great for the team budget-wise, which, again, I know. It seems like, pennies in a bucket for a rich owner and all this. But in honesty, it's not the best use of money and roster space and all that, but it's more about fans being upset about the asset usage in that, Bernard Docker was essentially a body in, body out part of the Cousins trade with Dennis Gilbert going to Ottawa. But I think it comes down to the principle of the thing that's got fans really up in arms about it.
Joe, I want to talk to you about the Sabres draft haul and get your take on their performance at the draft. But more than that, I wanted to find out what's next for Kevin Adams here in his offseason checklist. How is he prioritizing things? We know that Alex Tuch is set to be an unrestricted free agent next summer, I want to say. So where does Adams prioritize things here? We talked about Byram. We talked about some other things. What's next for the GM?
Yeah, I think Byram, that stuff's got to be taken care of within like a month, month and a half tops. Getting something figured out with Tuch, and a lot of that depends on what Alex is looking for money wise, what he's looking for career wise and everything. Sabres love him. They love everything about him. They love, and he's an important player for them. It depends on how they view where he's going to be down the road. Obviously, because if you're going to commit 6-7, I think this is last year, they can offer 8 years to a guy that they're going to re-sign or to offer an extension to. If you're going to go that far down the road, I mean, that's a big commitment from everybody. It's a big financial one and roster one for the Sabres, and it's a big overall commitment from Tuch because he becomes the absolute focus guy for what this team's going to be for the future. So, that's going to be a really interesting negotiation, I think, just because this is a big moment for Alex to really hit it big, because he when he signed his extension with Vegas years ago, that was straight out of his ELC, I believe. So he hasn't had this, moment to have like a real free agent. Well, okay, let's get down to it and, let's set my future here kind of moment. So this is a big deal for him and his family. So I get that. I don't know that there's really a lot else for Kevin Adams to work on here, unless it's just hitting phones and seeing who's available out there. I mean, good luck getting through to some of the GMs. They're going to be up at the cottages where there's probably not a lot of cell coverage. But Byram, and I think getting Tuch squared away before we get to camp, because I'm pretty sure nobody wants to be, Alex doesn't want to be answering our questions about like, hey, hasn't something gotten worked out? Because it will be a distraction. Will absolutely be a distraction if there's not a deal done before we get back to training camp in September. But the hit list for what to get done here, it's really short, because you've kind of taken care of everything here. Rochester's basically set. They've got their depth set. Some of the Amherst guys got two-way contract or NHL contracts, so like that's great for them. But yeah, everything seems kind of set, which. Again, if you don't like what they've done and you don't like the way things set up, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say other than hope the Byram trade, if it happens, helps to change that picture.
Yeah, last one for me, Joe. The Sabres did have a draft. What stood out to you, if anything? Can some of these guys we be seeing in Rochester coming up here in October?
I don't think we're going to see anybody in Rochester. Rady Mirka, their first round pick. I don't know. I think he was on loan to Seattle from his Czech team, which would make him available for the AHL, because otherwise he's got to go back to Seattle, in the WHL. But I think given how many defensemen they've got squared away already in Rochester, I don't imagine they're gonna that's a move they would make anyways. I think they want to see him kind of develop a little bit more there before bringing him to Roch. Some of the other guys, some of these guys are ticketed for either junior hockey or college, and that's the best place for all of them to head off to, just to get more of those reps there, play the game against equal guys. But I do like a lot of the guys. We got to see him at development camp last week. The few guys that I really liked, Novotny seems very interesting to me. I think that's a guy to keep an eye on during the next few years. I think that's somebody worth watching. David Bedkowski, another big, hard-hitting defenseman. I'm very interested to see how his junior career goes and where he goes. And like these junior guys, they can end up in college at some point and vice versa, now that wall's kind of been broken down. With the NCAA, so if these guys decide to trade out and switch up, then that's great. But yeah, some of these other young guys, like Adam Kleber, Luke Osborne, like they're headed to college. Cleaver's already been at college. Osborne's headed to Wisconsin this season. So if you've got the college, you got some of those packages, the Big Ten package on your cable system, then might be worth it to tune in some weekends.
Was there a player that jumped off the ice to you from the four days of development camp at Harper Center?
Yeah, I think Scott Ratzlaff. Ratzlaff and Linen, the two goaltenders, who you're going to see in camp in Rochester in September, look head and shoulders better than everybody else, which they should. They're both 20, 21 years old. They've got the time put in. Ratzlaff looks very confident. Linen might need a little bit, little warming up on this side of the ocean to get him going, but he's a big dude. He's a very big goaltender. I'll be very anxious to see what the Sabres' plan is going to be for all of these guys, because if Levi's going back to Rochester and you've got two other really young dudes there, they might be trading back and forth between Roch and Jacksonville. That could be what goes on there. But yeah, Novotny was really interesting. The defenseman really stood out. Kleber was great. I really liked Osborne. I think that's why I just like was mentioning him before, because they're the ones at the front of my mind. These are the guys to keep an eye on. I know the dev camp roster this year wasn't exactly sexy because all the Amherst guys that could go there weren't there. Things are on a good direction developmentally for this franchise. It's just that's not what anybody's interested in right now.
Yeah, I can't believe it, Joe. We got a CBA done. We don't have to worry or sweat here. Anything? Like, is there anything that kind of stood out? I guess we're going to get an earlier start here, not this season, but the year after.
Yeah, the 84 game schedule's a nice throwback to the early 90s, where that's the last time they were doing that kind of thing. Getting rid of some of the preseason games, I'm all for, just because preseason's just so weird. Starting the season sooner is great. I was mad when they started pushing things back into the second week of October to start years, and I'm like, what are we doing here, guys? Like, let's go. But those stand out. The contract extension changes, where the max is now 7 years for guys re-signing with their teams. The max outside of that is 6 years. I think it's an interesting twist. I don't know if the players are too geeked about it, but they must be okay with it because they signed on for it. Those two moves are interesting. I would love to see if, pardon the lawnmower here, I would love to see if they if things things would like get a little bit softened with some of the junior player eligibility for the AHL. I don't know if that I didn't see if that got touched at all, but the big ones with the schedule are that's a sizable one. I get us going sooner. I'm very pro that.
Love it, Joe. Let everybody know what you're working on at Bleacher Report and Noted Hockey right now that we can check out.
Yeah, we'll be. I got a piece today on teams that are maybe got their eyes on Gavin McKenna already for next year's draft. Be afraid, there's a certain local team that might be in that discussion right now. We'll have lots of stuff looking ahead to next season and all that going on at Bleacher Report. I'll be going through my prospect notes from Dev Camp and kind of sorting through a lot of that stuff the next couple of weeks. I'm getting circled by a lawnmower right now. I'm very afraid. But lots of stuff to go on through. I know everybody's taking a break, but there's still plenty of stuff to do, man.
Nice. Joe, great stuff as always. Enjoy some time here this summer, and should something happen, we're going to be giving you a ring. Appreciate you as always, bud.
I always appreciate the time, guys.
There he is, Joe Yurton. Bleacher Report, Noted Hockey, getting us caught up on the Sabres, getting us caught up on the Amherst. Exciting stuff when you hear Mike Leone talking about from development camp, talking about how everybody's looking. So, it's the off season, but it does it ever really end? I mean, the NHL specifically, you went right from the Stanley Cup final into the draft. No real break.
No, right. I guess I understand. You know, you really want to get everything all set. They're...
NBA as well, though. NBA does the same thing.
NBA does it. About Gavin McKenna. So and everybody's saying this kid's going to go number one overall. He's going to play college hockey. And the report is he's going to play at Penn State.
Oh. Huh.
So, which is kind of cool because Penn State actually comes to play RIT here. So that'll be kind of a neat thing. Report was between Penn State and Michigan State, but looks like he's choosing the Nittany Lions.
All right, we are. Steve Cornianos, the draft analyst, will be stopping by and we'll break down that Sabres draft and talk about some of the prospects that the Sabres got their hands on here at the end of the season and into the 2025 NHL draft. We have more on the way next. We have time for your calls. And hell, let's give away some tickets right now as well. If you're caller 5, we've got a free pair of tickets to see Adam Sandler September 21st. He's coming to KeyBank Center in Buffalo. That's all courtesy of Live Nation. Your tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. You can score them for free if you're caller 5 now at 866-4326-585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.